Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Hey, everybody, it is Tuesday night. Y'all know what time it is. It is right around 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And to be exact, it's about 8:02. So y'all know Jazz will be pulling up into the clubhouse any minute now. You know, he has to get himself situated, make sure his car's parked straight. And he's still sitting in the hard chair, guys. Still sitting in the hard chair. Boss Lady hasn't given him his cushy seat yet. Once again, you're tuned in live to the scoreboard. My name is Tony. And I'm going to be joined momentarily by Mr. Jazz. And in the meantime, and in between time, I'll go ahead and do some house cleaning. Hey, Jazz, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, baby? How are you?
I'm doing good. Just about to do some house cleaning, let the people know. Shout out our sponsors of the show.
Aye.
My name is Tony. You're listening live to the scoreboard. And as I said, right around 8:04, Mr. Jazz pulls up into the clubhouse. See, Jazz, that's why you're still sitting in your hard seat. Boss Lady hasn't given you your cushy seat because, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. It's hard over here, man.
I know. But I just want to shout out our sponsors to the show, the scoreboard presented by the one and only Nene Capri on Real Raw Radio. Now, she has Nene Capri Presents, as well as the Iron Throne magazine, which DJs of the ATL, Jazz, that's right around your neighborhood, and also the Brit Network, 1K Media, guys. That's right, the 1K Media Group, and Media Vision 848. And she also has a sponsor with Young Urban American Group, and my one and only baby, I got a new logo today. Book, write, edit, and yeah, I do that hardcore red pen book editing. So those are our sponsors, and I also like to shout out some of the Boss Lady's phenomenal works. She is the P-Trap Lady. She is known worldwide. She has trappers all over this country that we reside in. Jazz, I keep telling you, you got to get on the trapping board. Got to get on that trapping board. And in addition to that, she has some authors under her pen that Nene Capri presents. She got that fierce heat. Make sure you put these phenomenal works into your library. She has Sinful Lust by the one and only beautiful Imani Hilton, our Black Widow. We got our own Black Widow, Jazz. She has Dreamweaver that she actually wrote. She has Diamond Puffs and Glock. Not the co-author. got my host hat on early. Author is black, so make sure you guys pick those up. And The Wrath by Rance McNeil. He is our black knight. And don't forget, Escamillion, she has that devious deception. So those are just a sample of the great work that you could pick up by Nene Capri as well as her author. And with that, Jazz, I'm going to kick it over to you. Talk to us, buddy. What's going on? Are you all set with your info?
Yeah, I guess. I'm on a learning curve right now, so... No, I'm gonna let it do what it do, but no, it wasn't really a whole lot.
That's all you can do.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I was traveling this weekend, so I didn't really. There weren't really any fights of note this week, and I wanted to instead we're gonna have a new segment because we are entering WrestleMania season, so as soon as Louis Mack comes into the clubhouse, he will expound on what the road to WrestleMania is and give us some background on what he expects or what he thinks will happen this Sunday coming. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for that to occur, have you kept up with what happened last night with LeBron and the neck issue?
I've been looking at the highlights today because I was actually editing the job I was trying to finish up last night. And I finished it this morning. So I saw them, I listened to them talking about it on ESPN, so I went looking for it. You know, I got to look for it, getting it all in my prep mode. And they say he was down for the count for a little bit. You know, LeBron, you don't stay down for the count.
Well, they were getting blown out. So the game got ugly early. Because I think that was the Spurs game, if I'm not mistaken. Might have been the night before. I don't know. I think did they lose to the Spurs last night? I forgot who they lost to.
They got clobbered. They got clobbered.
Yeah,
we're
going
to go ahead and bring Mr. Louis Mack on into the clubhouse so he can chime in as well. Hey, Louis, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You guys asking? Just some Jazz ass. I don't know how I feel about that, Tony. I think that's your job duty. So, Jazz, if you could quit overstepping your boundaries, I think we'd be okay.
Yeah, you know, trying to wear multiple hats here, bro. You know. So what's going on? So, let's get into the road to WrestleMania.
Well, like you said, WrestleMania is Sunday. The official WrestleMania show kicks off at like 7 Eastern time. I think they're doing like a 2-hour pre-show thing beforehand. This starts at 5. There'll probably be a couple of the matches on the pre-show just to get people to come in and watch.
To,
you know, try to get the viewership up. So, you know, you can tune in for the pre-show and listen to a bunch of people talk, you know, and then have a match every now and then. Or you can do what I'm going to do is probably just tune in at 7 and just, you know, catch the results when they talk about it through the show.
Okay.
So, it's an interesting card. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about some of the matches. There's some of them that have been real, like, they've been booked really badly, and there's zero heat going into it. Like, it just seems real bland. And then there's
now,
what do you mean
by that? What do you mean by not, no heat and bland?
Okay, when wrestling fans, we have to suspend disbelief. You know, we all know it's sports entertainment, that it's scripted. It's, you know, but a part of the storyline and a part of like what makes a match good to watch, even though we know I hate to use the word, but it's fake. Is, you know, you get the storyline into it and it makes you hype for that match. Like when McGregor gets on the mic before one of his matches and is talking smack and, you know, getting in people's faces, it makes you excited to see if McGregor's going to get his ass whooped or if he's going to, you know, back up his words and,
okay.
you know, come out on top, right?
Okay.
Same thing with wrestling. You know, you get two guys or, you know, two teams or three guys or, you know, however the match is going to work out. And you get everybody, you know, you get the storyline where you got guys cutting promos on each other, and it's supposed to build heat, and it's supposed to build, like, intrigue. Like, it's supposed to make you want to see who's going to come out on top. And
okay.
there's a couple of the matches that it's just kind of like, man, like, there's no pizzazz behind it. Like, there's no intrigue. You're just kind of like, oh, we're going to see a match. That's kind of cool. So...
Are there any of them that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Their match. They've been not really a tag team, but they've been kind of like they were running like the best friend angle for a while, and
okay.
that little team up just exploded like a month ago. So this is the first time that they'll face off in the ring since that big explosion and that breakup of those two characters. And they're both
okay.
really good in ring workers and really good like on the mic. And Kevin Owens is really good about like inside the match, like while he's in the ring, just making like funny comments to like fans or to the ref or whatever. So that match I'm really looking forward to because Chris Jericho is one of the best in the world. You know. He's a great wrestler. He's really good at what he does, and so is Kevin Owens. And that one's got a lot of heat behind it. That one's got a lot of intrigue, so I'm really kind of interested to see who comes out on that one. Local guy, AJ Styles, he's from Gainesville. He's got a match against Shane McMahon, the son of Vince McMahon.
Wow.
And Shane's, you know, notorious for, you know, some crazy, you know, stunt. He's gonna jump off of something or break something,
wow.
and he always does it. So, and AJ is he's a very skilled technical wrestler, and he's got a nice high flying set of moves too. AJ is considered one of the best wrestlers, like if not the best wrestler, one of like top three in the entire world, not just WWE, like but like everybody around the world in wrestling. So he always puts on a 5-star match, and so it'll be fun to see what kind of spot they come up with. But that's really about it, man. Like we get
you
Goldberg
don't see
and
the,
Les. What?
Well, you don't want to see the Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. You don't want to see that one.
I'm not a big Roman Reigns fan. He works a very not stiff, but like. His moveset's not as creative as some of the other guys. So, like, he's a very good, like, brawler-type wrestler, and he's got power moves, but outside of that, he's really not much of anything else. But I like the angle with his character that they're building with, so it'll be kind of interesting to see what they do with him after the match. But
okay.
Undertaker's 50, man. Like, he's either right at 50... Yeah, and I don't know if you've watched any Raw lately, but like he just looks old, and like he looks like he should be like he looks like a literal dead man, like you know that's the Undertaker's gimmick is he's the dead man. He looks the part, and so I'm just not sure what Undertaker's got left in the tank to put on a good match. He only wrestles you know two or three times a year now.
Okay.
And he tries his best. Like he's gonna work hard and he's gonna do his best. It's just I'm not sure that he's got enough left in the tank to do something, you know, put on a great match. And I'm just not sure Roman Reigns is a good enough in ring wrestler to carry the Undertaker to a great match.
I wanna chime in here, Louis Mack. I'm sorry, Jazz. I just wanna chime in because I'm hearing all these guys' names. But what about the ladies of WrestleMania? You have Alexa, you have Becky, and you have my favorite. Not my favorite, but I just kind of like her name, Natalia. Talk to us about the ladies of WrestleMania as well. Don't leave those guys out. That's that mid-ticket, I believe. Am I right?
That's right.
And I'm glad you brought those three ladies up because they're all on the SmackDown roster.
Exactly.
And the way the SmackDown Women's Championship is going right now is Alexa Bliss is the champion, and she's very good in the ring. I like her work in the ring. She's gotten a lot better on the mic, so she's becoming an all around, you know, good superstar. But the way they haven't announced an opponent for that match yet. They've just said it's going to be any available SmackDown woman on the roster who's not already in another match. Who's going to be? So we don't know if it's going to be a surprise entry like a Naomi or an Asuka from the NXT roster, or if it's going to turn into like a gauntlet type tournament match where Alexa's going to have to beat Natalia, Becky Lynch, Mickey James, you know, and all these other women to retain her title or not. Like, so we don't really know what's going to happen with that SmackDown match. They're still up in the air about it. So it could be really fun. It could be a nice, cool little, like, gauntlet match or battle royale type match with the ladies, which would be really fun to see them, you know, take the women's division to the next level and show them a little bit of respect. Or it could be a surprise Naomi, who's a hometown girl in Orlando where WrestleMania is this year, coming back from an injury and trying to get her title back. Or it could be, you know, Asuka from the NXT roster, who was a superstar in Japan, and she doesn't speak very good English, so they put her in NXT to kind of help her learn, like, the mic work for the English language. In ring, she's amazing. So they've kind of left it up in the air. Like, we don't know what it's going to be. So the SmackDown Women's Championship match is going to be one to kind of keep your eye on to see what they end up doing with it.
Okay. All right, make sure the ladies get repped.
And then on the Raw side, you have a Fatal 4-Way. I think it might be an elimination match, but it might just be a regular 4-Way with Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Nia Jax. And Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Charlotte are all very skilled in the ring wrestlers, and they always put on top of the line matches. Nia's a little, you know, green in the ring. She's still not up to their level, but she adds an interesting mix to it. And that'll be a fatal 4-way match. So you can, and Charlotte and Sasha are very athletic in the ring and very, they're not afraid to do some crazy spots. So that's another, you know, good, you know, title match to probably keep your eye on, see how everything works out on that one too.
Okay. Now, because you wasn't on last week, I hate to change the subject, but you wasn't on last week, so we never got to get your input on NBA players' rest from, you know, the LeBron incident, the Golden State incident. You know, how do you feel about that?
I'm really kind of torn about it. A part of me says you're a professional. This is what you do. Like, your job is to play basketball. Like, go play basketball. Like, go do it. You know, that's your job. But at the same time, like, the teams really that are resting their players right now, especially this stretch of the season, they're all teams that have basically locked in. You know, they know what seed or where they're going to be for the playoff run. So they're not really, you're not really, you know, playing for anything. Like Cleveland doesn't gain anything by making LeBron play every single game the rest of the year. Golden State doesn't gain anything by making Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and everybody play every single game for the rest of the season. So if it gets your team right to make the better playoff push, I mean, as a fan of, like, that specific team, you're okay with it because you want your team in tip-top shape for the playoffs. But, like, as a casual fan like me who tunes in for, like, you know, big marquee matchups like, you know, like Cleveland and Golden State or the Thunder Rockets where it's Westbrook versus Harden, you know, I want to see that matchup. So when I go to tune in and I find out that, you know, James Harden is, you know, did not play because, you know, coach's decision to rest him, and it makes me a little upset, or like a LeBron James, you know, especially as like a paying fan where LeBron only comes to my city, you know, once a year. or maybe twice a year. You know, I would be a little upset about that. But I think in the long run, the goal for all these teams is to win a championship. And, the team's got to do with its roster what it's got to do to, try to fulfill that goal of winning a world championship. So, I don't like it, but I understand it.
Okay. So, did you see the elbow to the back of the neck last night? And LeBron had to take a break and, gather himself in the middle of a blowout loss. And those are the things, like he said, I take a lot of shots, So, you don't want me to rest, but I'm taking shots like this to my neck and, so do you, did that sway either one of y'all's perception of resting after you saw the shot he took last night off the inadvertent elbow?
Well, I'm gonna start it off. At that point, they were literally getting blown out, and so like Louis said, it really doesn't hurt their standing. So LeBron shouldn't have even been in a game where there's 20 plus points left, and I think it happened in the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Third quarter.
Why is he still in the game? You know, if you want to rest, that's the point where you can rest. 20 points down, 20 plus points down, and you inadvertently, now you get hurt in the game, and you go down, which you don't normally do. So, you gotta weigh those things. Did it benefit the Cavs to have him still in that game at that point? What do you say, Louis?
I'm with you guys, especially like somebody like LeBron. What is he? He's been to what, like 7 straight finals?
7, yes. Yeah.
Since he joined the Heat, and since he came
not
back,
not only
to
that,
England,
the when he goes overseas and plays for the USA,
mm-hmm.
the Olympics, and all of that.
LeBron has logged a ridiculous amount of minutes in his career, especially over the last 7 years. And the other thing is, LeBron is considered arm-wide the best player in the league. So when you get a bunch of younger guys or a team that wants to, show their merit and to show their, what they're worth against a player like LeBron, they're going to play in tougher. So he does take a lot of shots. So I understand. And that's a part of the thing. Like, I don't like the players resting. Like, I don't like it as a fan because it waters down the already watered-down product. But, I understand why they do it because especially like Cleveland, like they're already, dealing with some injuries. If LeBron goes down and especially with a head injury and has to miss significant time and has to miss, some playoff time, that's a big issue for them. That's a really big issue for Cleveland for LeBron to get a neck injury or get a concussion or whatever and has to miss significant time. That's a big issue. That hurts your championship run. Same thing with the Warriors. If Steph or Klay go down with KD, now you're dealing. Now you're putting yourself in a situation where you may not have your, top two players ready for the playoffs, and that could cause an issue for your playoff run. So,
not only that, but they seem to have been playing a little bit harder due to the fact that, J.R. Smith as well as Kevin Love is out. So they've kind of readjusted their game, and it looked like they were trying to play through those injuries, which in turn made them play harder. So that's a lot of additional strain on them. But to be seen, that gave Boston the chance to come up and kind of
exactly.
Take that spotlight from them.
Well, but can Boston hold on to that top seed? And does it really matter?
If it was any other team than Cleveland, that they were battling for, I would say it would matter. But I don't think it really matters. I think between Kyrie and LeBron, and then especially if they get Love and JR back, and they're operating pretty much at full strength. I don't think it really matters if Cleveland's got home court advantage or not. I mean, they're going to go out there and do their business. Will it make it easy? Will it make it a better series? Because Boston has home court. Maybe, but you're talking about LeBron and Kyrie, and little Isaiah Thomas, he's a great player. Kyrie's going to take him to the shed if he has to. And, LeBron can take anybody, LeBron can take basically anybody he wants to the shed. It doesn't matter who guards him.
Yeah.
So, at a certain point, Kyrie and LeBron are going to turn it on. And, it doesn't matter if it's in Boston or if it's in Cleveland. LeBron and Kyrie are going to split that switch. And there's not much you can do to try to stop it, other than just try to match them point for point, which that turns into a scary game plan. So
I kind of agree and disagree because, given that it is the Cavs, I do have a little bit of faith in them. But LeBron hasn't exactly played well in Boston. I don't know if you've looked at the stats, but I don't think Boston has been one of his best played arenas. I have to just double check that, but I'm just going back on memory. So, that in itself can play a key as far as, home court advantage. And I think you want every edge that you can get to keep home court advantage. So we're going to see how they rebound from this losing skid, because ironically, for the month of March, even the lowly Nets have had a better winning month than the Cavs. So I find that very interesting. So,
absolutely.
On March only has a few more days left to it, so we'll see how it all pans out.
Well, now, okay, very, very, very quickly, I ask you guys, and I know y'all have each had a couple weeks to, hear the people, the talking heads on TV, everybody's making their point. So now I'm going to ask you guys, today, MVP, NBA, today.
Oh, jeez. Okay, hold on. Before I answer this question, I got a disclaimer. Are we actually voting for the most valuable player on his team, or are we voting for the best player in the league?
Whatever your definition of the MVP is, you can, whatever your definition is, I'm riding with it. Because everybody has a different definition.
Honestly, and that's what's crazy about the MVP race. It matters because it changes who you vote for.
It changes how you vote as well, because you're not necessarily the best player in the league is an MVP. You got to look at all of the accompanying factors that go into an MVP. Does he make his team better? Does he make... the people around
remember, according to the rules, there are no rules. The MVP is whoever you want it to be. There's no rule. The NBA didn't set forth rules. Whatever you want it to be. So
I get that. I'm saying, the MVP voting in every sport here lately has been who's put up the most stats. Is the best player in the league. And the same thing with the Heisman. But if you actually look at what it's supposed to be the player on the team that if they weren't on that team or they got hurt or whatever happened, that team would not be anywhere close to the same of what they're doing now.
We'll use that.
The second one?
We'll use that. Whichever, if you want to use that, we could use that as a template for MVP. But who you got?
Russell Westbrook with a John Wall close behind him in second place.
Okay.
That's interesting.
I'm surprised by the John Wall coming in second. I like that. Okay.
Me too. I, I have him in the top five. I didn't have him in second. My top, I have actually a co-MVP with Westbrook and Harden. You know, they playing hard. They're making an impact with their team. You know, they come out and play every single game, and you got to respect that in light of what's going on in the NBA and all this resting. But those are my top two picks. And I had Wall at about number four or five, you know, given Washington, he and Beal about the who's there after those two.
Well, that's why I put Wall at number two behind Westbrook, because I think if you take Westbrook away from the Thunder and you take John Wall away from the Wizards, they got hurt first game of the season, torn ACL, they're done for the year. Neither one of those teams are playoff teams. There's not enough that, like, those two players have not single-handedly, of course, because it's a team sport. But those two players have made a huge difference in how that team is going to play and if they're going to win or not. And I would throw James Harden in that mix too. But if you look at his defensive metrics and his splits, whether he's on the court or off the court, the Houston Rockets don't really change much when he's on or off the court. Like, it's not a big change of how their efficiency is with him on the court compared to him off the court. So while he's putting up great numbers, the team really doesn't get affected much when he's on the bench taking a rest. So that's why I wanted to clarify how we're going to vote this. Because if we're looking at pure stats, James Harden and Russell Westbrook are the clear one and two, and you can argue which one, you know, you can argue at that point who you want to give it to. But if you're talking about a guy who you remove from his team, completely destroys the makeup of that lineup, you gotta have John Wall a little bit higher than, you know, four or five.
But if you're looking at that same equation, Lou, you gotta look at players like Anthony Davis. You gotta look at players like Karl Anthony Towns, because if you take any one of those guys off their team, you know, what do you have left? So I that's why I kind of raised my eyebrow at John Wall, you know, not to take anything away, and I don't see him in the same class as Russell Westbrook or a James Harden. Sure, he has game. He tends to get overlooked, but he has game, but I wouldn't put them in the same category. I'm just saying, that's just my opinion.
Okay.
But
okay.
That's the beauty of having an opinion, you know, that
well,
did we lose Louie? I think we lost Louie.
Damn it.
He's back in the clubhouse.
All right.
I think we lost you, Louie. You back with us?
Hey, I'm back. What's
you
up?
You back with us?
Yeah, so
yeah, I think we lost you there.
So if you're gonna if you're going to go John Wall as your second, then you're saying that without John Wall, that Washington would be they wouldn't be a playoff team.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so because, they've shown it. They have no bench depth at all. Like, they have no depth
right.
at all. And if John Wall or Bradley Beal is not playing at the high level, that offense, that team can't do anything. So I think if you take John Wall out of that equation, I don't think Bradley Beal plays as well as he does. I don't think Otto Porter Jr. plays as well as he does.
Uh-huh.
And that second
and
unit.
I like Porter. Porter's showing up.
I do. But I think having an elite point guard and John Wall is helping Porter, you know, be able to do what he does. And if you take John Wall out of that, then, you know, it puts more pressure on them. And I don't know if Porter and Beal have enough in them to maintain, you know, obviously they're not going to be where they're at in the standings now without Wall. But I don't know if they have enough to, you know, they might make an 8 seed and then get blown out in the first round. I mean, Wall is what makes that team click.
That's definitely true.
I can go with that. I can see it. Yeah, I look.
And Tony, before I got disconnected, I do have Anthony Davis in my top five MVP. I believe you can't. I don't think you can have an MVP list without having Anthony Davis on it. The only knock on Anthony Davis is his team doesn't win, and fans and people and us and other talking heads, we include that into our mixture of, you know, hey, you're not winning, you know, this guy's not leading his team to, you know, a high seed on, you know, in the playoff bracket. He's not leading his team, you know, they're not winning with him on the court anyway. He's just putting up great stats. But I do put Anthony Davis in that list because without him, the Pelicans are just that much worse. So, you know, and we've talked, you know, extensively about how the Pelicans aren't, you know, that great of a team, especially after that trade. But, you know, if you take Anthony Davis out of that mix, you know, if he goes down for a significant amount of time, that team's lost. They have no idea defensively or offensively of what to do. So I do have Anthony Davis in my top five. Karl Anthony Towns, I don't have him. I think he just hasn't got to that level yet, but he's going to get there. But, you know, he's another player on a young team that I just don't know what that team looks like without him, if it's really that much worse or that much better, you know, with or without him, you know. Because that team is all around really kind of just weird anyway. So I don't really know what they have without him. That's my only hesitation with Karl Anthony Towns.
Well, I would say MVP, I will go Russell Westbrook at one because OKC's a hole in the ground without Russell. I mean, when your second best player is Oladipo and you got, you know, Taj Gibson, and they got a bunch of grinders, and they got Russell Westbrook. So he's my MVP. My number two would be Gobert over in Utah. Because if you never heard of him, he's a beast. And nobody heard of him.
Yes, he is.
I can get behind that.
And my third one would be, I was just thinking the dude name. I'll give it to you in a minute. I forgot his name. But yeah, I would go Westbrook and then Gobert, and then the third person. So I forgot the third person name, but yeah, I can't nothing against Harden, but I'm definitely with Louis. They do the same thing when Harden's in the game when he's not in the game. They launch threes and they run it. And
Mike
Harden
for the win.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, when you're looking at their games, you know, Harden has, now don't get me wrong, Harden has had more moments than Westbrook or LeBron or whoever else you want to throw out there. He's had more moments. Last night he hit the three to win the game night before last. So he's had the moments. So when you want to talk moments, I go Harden all day. The coast to coast to win the game last week. I mean, he's a moment machine. And they're winning more games this year than last year. But I gotta go Russell. Russell, I mean, you can't even argue. Especially if he achieves the triple double like he's trying to do. Cause that's crazy. But I wanted to ask y'all real quick. How did y'all feel about the Phoenix Suns feeding Booker to get the 70?
Oh,
do it, man.
Yeah,
do it.
I didn't like it. I think it takes away from the sport. It didn't fit well with me as a fan of the sport.
I mean,
there's different, you know, because I've been thinking about this since it happened. I've been listening to the sports heads, as we're going to be calling them, and really, what did it do other than give a 19-20-year-old, 70 points. I mean, they were already losing. They were holding up the game. They just, it just was not sports. It didn't sit well with me.
Well, I mean, I'll take it to the flip. I'll take your same point and come back at you with it. They didn't have anything else going. Like, well, why not let them get 70? They were going to lose the game. They're not going for the playoffs. They're not, you know, they're not going to get anywhere. So why not let the kid get 70?
I mean,
why let him get it?
Well, I will say this: the game was out of hand. The game, Boston was up, so Boston was in no danger of losing the game. And towards the end of the game, Boston was letting them shoot. So it's not like, you know, everybody kind of played into him getting the 7. So is it just the fact that they let him do it? Is that the part of it that bothers you, Miss Tony, the fact that they just let him do it?
Yes. I mean, I'm very – it's a competitive game, and I can't – and I was talking – I put a message out to my son. He hasn't been able to get back to me on how he felt – you know, Kyle, how Kyle felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kyle is very – he played – you know his game, Jazz. He's
absolutely
very competitive, and he is not going to let someone just come in and just score on him, you know. So I just wanted to hear it from his point of view. So I'm waiting for him to get back to me on that. But it just didn't sit well. I mean, play some D. Do something. Be competitive. Don't just let them just shoot on you like that. It's just, I think it does something to the game. It just did not sit well with me.
I agree with you, Tony, that I wish, you know, because like Jazz said, near the end of the game, they weren't playing D on them. They were letting them chuck from three. The Phoenix was feeding him the ball, you know, like, but if he watched the game, he was the only offensive piece in that for that team anyway. Like, he was the only one scoring. And like Jazz said, there was, even if Phoenix started playing team ball again and tried to make a run and play some defense, they weren't catching up. So,
nah.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but at that point, like, Phoenix season's over. They have nothing to play for. You weren't going to win that game. Go get a, you know, go get a happy moment.
Yeah.
You know,
and
go,
I mean, that's,
go get.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, because the most points scored in a single game since Kobe went for 81?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, you let the future star of your team have his moment. Have his, you know, his stat line, and like I said, it doesn't change your playoff race. It didn't change the outcome of the game. Like, now I'll give Kobe credit. Kobe went for 81, but he had to because I think they still ended up losing that game anyway. But it was a closer game. Yeah, but it was close back and forth. And again, he was the only offensive piece. But even in that game, I mean, they fed him the rock all game. You know, he reached a certain point total, and everybody went, oh, crap, we could have history here. And they kept feeding him the rock, and he was just on. It's one of those moments, you know, he's what, 18, 19, 20?
Mm-hmm.
He has his moment. He learns from it. Hopefully it gives him a little bit of confidence to keep being the main scorer for that team, and you got a piece to build around.
And it's ironic you say that because the next game after that, I watched that game. He played with more confidence the game after the 70. So, you know, whether you want to say the 70, maybe the 70 helped him mentally to say, hey, I could actually play in this league. You know what I mean? It built his confidence. And like Earl Watson said, the coach, when they kept asking him in the press conference, like he said, dude, you know, we're losing. We ain't going to the playoffs. Why not let the young man score 7? Why not? And it ain't, like you said, Louis, it ain't hurt nothing. It ain't hurt nothing. Especially when you have the Boston fans screaming for him to score the 70 on their home team. Because they want to see the history. I mean, you know, you kind of got to ride that emotion.
And I mean, Tony, I'm not trying to pick at you, but how do you feel when Steph Curry shoots 11 for 15 from three-point land? Does that kill the game?
It bothers me as well. You know, this whole Steph Curry train is just getting a little tired, you know, and then to put on the antics.
What's wrong with Steph Curry? I mean,
It's just getting a little old. That's all.
What do you mean?
Okay,
what do you mean? You have to expound on that a little bit. What do you mean?
It's like the fairy tale. You know, you just kind of it's just their whole aura, their whole persona. It's just getting a little tired, and I'm not the only fan of that saying it. I hear it across the board. How they, you know, he throws up the shot, turns around, his back is to the basket, and he just expects it to go in. You know, in the beginning it was nice, it was different, it was fresh, it was new. But it's at this point, you know, it's just a little cockiness. I think the word is that I'm trying to look for. But of course, these are just my opinions. Everybody is has the right to their own opinion. I'm just tired of the Golden State Warriors. Your team.
Wow.
And Jazz, wow. I'll bring some stats into how ridiculous Steph Curry's gotten. Do you know
how ridiculous? Okay.
Can you? Who owns the five seasons with the most 3-pointer made? Who owns those five games or those five seasons with the most 3-pointers made?
I mean, I would say Steph. Either Steph or Clay.
Steph owns four of them. Klay Thompson owns the other one.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they live for the three. I mean, I will say this, and please, I do not want y'all to think that I've been a Curry Klay guy since they've been in Golden State. Because I was not. I really didn't like it because they would call them the best backcourt, the best shooting backcourt in the league. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't really believe that. I really didn't. But
mm-hmm.
I believe it now. I have to because, dude, they shoot really well. And one last thing before we go, because I know we only got 11 minutes. Does Durant make it back before the end of the season, end of regular season?
He's trying.
They say they're supposed to announce it tomorrow. So I want, you know, what do y'all think? Do you think he makes it? Do you think they need him for the first round?
If he's going to try to play in the first round, then I think he needs to come back in the regular season, at least for like the last couple of games, and kind of knock some of that rust off and get back in a rhythm with Steph and Draymond and Clay, and get back into playing.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands right now, their first round is against Portland or Denver. I'm not sure they need him for that. I'm sure they would love to have him back and
mm-hmm.
knowing that he can play. If they really want him back for the first round, then I think he needs to try to play at least like the last couple of games of the regular season and knock some of that rust off and get back into, you know, playing. So that way he's not trying to knock that rust off in the playoffs.
I can go with that. That makes sense. Do you agree with Tony?
I just tend to, with such an injury coming back too soon, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not like he's been out an exorbitant amount of time. Like Louis said, you do want the rust taken off, but at the risk of what, though? At the risk of what? You got to kind of weigh those options.
Yeah.
Is it too soon? I mean, they were talking about he wasn't initially coming back until after the, you know, until after the season. And
well,
he's a key component to their winning.
Well, it's funny because since he's been traveling, since he's been cleared to travel with the team, you notice they've gone on a winning streak lately with him just being on the bench. So
he can do
that. I think by the second round, I think he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be back by the second round. Because I believe at that point you're gonna. I'm with Nui Mack. I think by that time, excuse me. Depending on the matchup, you're going to need him. You're going to
definitely
need him. You know, no matter who you play, whether it's Houston, or whoever it is, you know, you're going to need him. So at that point,
as it stands right now, if the one seed beats the 8 seed and the 2 seed beats the 7 and the 3, you know, if all the top seeds beat their matchups, it'll be Utah.
They'll
need Durant. They'll need Durant to match up with Gordon Hayward, and to kind of try to balance out what Gobert and stuff is going to do down low. They're going to need that extra threat.
Absolutely. And Cleveland still beast of the East.
I tell you this, the East has gotten a lot more interesting these last lately.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely gotten a little bit more interesting.
Oh yeah. See, I just don't know if Boston's got enough to go 7 with them and win.
I don't think Boston can go 7 with. I don't think they can.
And I'm in the same boat with Washington and Toronto. I just don't know if there's a team in the East who, in a 7-game series, can win. You know, can get. You know, who can win a 7-game series against them? Because, like I said, LeBron and Kyrie are going to turn that switch on at some point, and that's a lot to handle. And especially trying to match point for point. So I don't know if there's another team in the East who can go 7 with them. But it's gotten interesting for sure.
You know. I'll say this, and you know, if Lowry didn't get hurt, I think Toronto could push him to 7, and it'd be a pick-em game. But with Lowry, you don't know how Lowry coming back. I think it's too much weight on DeRozan. I think that John Wall, for all the good things you get in John Wall, I think that he tends to self-destruct in high-profile games. I think he tries to do too much instead of playing within the system. And I don't think Boston has enough scoring to score with him. Because for all of those players, they're all role players.
Yeah, I don't think Isaiah Thomas is going to be able to carry Boston over Cleveland in a 7-game series. I don't know if they got enough with him to, you know, try to match him. You know, defensively, they may be able to slow down the Cavs offense. I just don't know if you can slow it down enough, you know, because, you know, Kyrie and LeBron are going to get theirs. And, you know, Isaiah may be able to match point-wise what Kyrie does. But do you have somebody or even two people who can match what LeBron can do?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, you know, when we were talking at the trade deadline, that's where
Well, you make that trade, nothing against it, but, and I know it would never happen, but when you look at that team, that's when you need that second guy. Who is going to be the second? Because it's not, what's my man that came from here, from Atlanta? The center. Horford. It's not Horford. I mean, maybe you get it in Avery. Maybe you get it in Avery, what's his name? Bradley.
Bradley.
Avery Bradley.
You need that second guy.
the Avery Bradley strong point is his defense, not necessarily his scoring. I mean, he's a defensive demon. You know, he's that annoying net that you just he's always up in your face and just trying to brush him away.
But Bradley can only guard one of either LeBron or Kyrie.
Absolutely.
So who's going to D up the other one?
Yeah. See, that's they don't and nothing against Boston, but I am glad that Danny Ainge made the best move of before the trading deadline by not trading that pick.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best move that he could have made.
Okay.
Because now you still preach patience, and they still have the pick. So you may go into the playoffs as a top seed, and you still got a potential stud arriving next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you just hope that he turns out better than the late Glenn Byers.
Well, yeah, because, what, Brooklyn's the worst team in the league, so they're going to have the most ping pong balls?
Yes.
Well, they traded there. They traded their pick. I don't think they have. Didn't they trade their pick to I can't remember the team, but I don't think they get their pick this year. For some reason, I'm thinking that.
Who?
Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, Brooklyn traded
Boston.
Boston.
That's the pick that Boston has. And it's unprotected. That's what makes it so appealing.
I mean, Danny Ainge had two choices. Either trade that pick for a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George and go and try to win a title this year. Or, like you said, you know, and look at your fans and look at your team and say, look, guys, we're close. We're very close. But we have the potential number one overall draft pick next year where we can get another bona fide, you know, superstar in the making.
Absolutely.
To add to this, you know, to our young core. And we're going to be that much better moving forward.
And maybe he could be that second person. And who's to say?
They could go get Alonzo Ball or, you know, one of the other top, you know.
Real quick. Are y'all really – is he really that good, John?
Offensively,
have you seen him play?
No.
He checked out these last couple of games. I don't think he played up to his full potential. Not like Fox or Jackson.
Yeah,
I think he just kind of clocked out that last game that they lost, as well as the one before that. I don't think
he definitely checked out against Kentucky. But
definitely.
He's a very good offensive piece. He's a very good scorer. He's a very good, you know, he's
passer.
A very good wing scorer. And he's a very good playmaker, too. Like, he plays the point guard for UCLA. But I think he could easily make a transition to the two if he needed to, especially if he's with Boston. I think he could, you know, be a two or even just not let Isaiah run the point or, you know, let Isaiah be your point guard technically. But let him move off the ball, like, because he's very good at moving off the ball, and let Lonzo, you know, run the offense with the ball. And, you know, Lonzo's got – he's got NBA range with his three ball, and he's a very creative scorer, like, down in the paint. So, I mean, he could be that second scorer for him. I just don't know, like, defensively, I don't think he's ready yet for the NBA. He's not good enough defensively to play in the NBA. But his offensive game is on point. So.
Yeah, I like his game. He has a nice – and he sees the court. He sees ahead of the ball. You know, he spreads the ball. He handles the ball. And we only have 50 seconds, guys. We're going to pick back up on this next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Join us here live on the scoreboard.
Remember, the draft starts in, what, 3 weeks?
Party.
The draft
about
is in, what, 3 weeks?
It's the end of April, so, yeah, about a month. April 24th.
Perfect. We're gonna have to get into some of that soon. Thank you guys for listening. We're gonna take them on out, Miss T. Awey.
Absolutely. Once again, thank you guys for tuning into the scoreboard. My name is Tony. I'm joined by our wonderful co-host, Mr. Jazz Scoreboard. as well as Mr. Louis Mack. We are here every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. 10 seconds, guys, quickly. Louis, where can they follow you?
Hey, they can follow me at Twitter at LouisMack8.
And where can they follow you, Miss Tony? Yo,
you, find me
you know
right
I am.
Here.
I'm always here. Where you at, Miss Tony? Where you at?
I'm a little bit of everywhere. You can find me here on Facebook. I'm Dr. Tony Trina Franklin and Miss Tony Delph on Instagram as well as Twitter. Once again, you are tuned in live to the Scoreboard presented by the one and only Boss Lady herself, Nene Capri, on Real World Radio. Make sure you guys follow us. Stay tuned. We'll pick this conversation back up next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Thanks
Absolutely.
For joining us, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Kick that beat for me, baby.
Bye, guys.
Hi, Louis.
Load it. Load it. Load it. Load it. Load it. You see this styrofoam cup in my hand? That bitch loaded. You see this cigarillo Big Marcus just rolled up? That bitch loaded. You see this Extendo hand?